Before beginning, we would like to welcome two special guests who are sitting in back corner. A very senior disciple of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, one of the leaders of Srila Prabhupada's preaching mission in South America for many years, Jagat Chakshu Prabhu, and a very dear and old friend of ours who used to render very intimate loving service to Srila Prabhupada's deity form in his Pushpa Samadhi in America, Jayadev Goswami Prabhu. Could you both stand up, please? Everyone, please warmly welcome them to Srila Prabhupada. Would you like to sit up here, Prabhus? Sorry?
Ichadvesha samudstena dvandva mohena bharata sarvabhutani sammoham sarge yanti parantapa. O scion of Bharat, O conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion, bewildered by dualities arisen from desire and hate. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The real constitutional position of the living entity is that of subordination to the Supreme Lord, who is pure knowledge. When one is deluded into separation from this pure knowledge, he becomes controlled by illusory energy and cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The illusory energy is manifested in the duality of desire and hate. Due to desire and hate, the ignorant person wants to become one with the Supreme Lord and envies Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pure devotees who are not deluded or contaminated by desire and hate can understand that Lord Sri Krishna appears by His internal potencies. But those who are deluded by duality and nescience think that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is created by material energies. This is their misfortune. Such deluded persons symptomatically dwell in dualities of dishonor and honor, misery and happiness, woman and man, good and bad, pleasure and pain, etc. Thinking, this is my wife, this is my house, I am the master of this house, I am the husband of this wife. These are the dualities of delusion. Those who are so deluded by dualities are completely foolish and therefore cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The translation. O scion of Bharat, O conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion, bewildered by dualities arisen from desire and hate. This afternoon we are reading from the 27th text of chapter 7 from Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is addressing Arjuna as the Skyan of Bharat. This means that he is coming from a great heritage of noble and saintly personalities who ruled over this world protecting the true principles of Dharma. He next addresses him as conqueror of the foe. As a Kshatriya, it is Arjuna's duty to conquer over all those who create opposition to the will of God and to protect the innocent. And as a devotee, Arjuna represents one who is meant to conquer illusion and delusion. Krishna goes on and explains that all living entities within this material world are born into delusion, bewildered by dualities arisen from desire and hate. To enter into this material world means to be forced by the laws of nature due to our previous karmic conditions. We are forced to take birth in this world when we make that preliminary decision in our life that we want to enjoy separate from the loving service of the Lord. When coming into this world of delusion, we are bewildered. We see a newborn child. They're bewildered. They're totally bewildered. They do not know who they are. They don't know where they are. They don't know anything. They just cry because they're bewildered. But then as they grow up, they come under the misconception that they're coming out of bewilderment. But actually, they're becoming more bewildered. When you don't know who you are, and you know you don't know, you're bewildered. But when you grow older and you start thinking with great conviction who you are, where you're coming from, who are your relatives, what you want to do, what is the purpose of life, when you think all these things, but they're all based on misconception, that's a greater delusion. People, due to ignorance, they are thinking that a child is ignorant. But as he grows up, that ignorance naturally vanishes. But a devotee, one who understands the truth, understands that a child is born in ignorance. And as he grows up, his ignorance gets deeper, 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 and more profoundly complex. That is why to teach a small child about God is very simple. But to teach an adult who is conditioned by so many egoistic conceptions is very difficult. There's a saying that to teach a person who's never played a musical instrument how to play a musical instrument is not very difficult. But to teach a person who has been trained and practiced for years and years together in the wrong way is very difficult. Because before you could teach him the right thing, you have to first teach him all the wrong things he's doing. So parents have a great responsibility. In this age of Kali Yuga, their children are born in ignorance. They don't know anything. The parents' duty is from the beginning to teach them the right thing. But in this age of Kali Yuga, the parents, the society, everyone is teaching them the wrong thing. What is their delusion? The delusion is that I am this body, and I am the controller and the enjoyer. The delusion is to desire what the egoistic mind and senses want for pleasure, and to hate that. To hate. To have distaste for anything that causes a negative reaction to my mind, senses, and ego. And this material world is constructed on the basis of duality. Pleasure, pain, honor, dishonor. Faith, doubt, birth, death, heat, cold, success, failure, beautiful, ugly, sweet, sour, tasty, disgusting. These are all dualities, unlimited dualities. Light, dark, tall, small, fat, thin. And according to our ego, we like one and we don't like the other. We want one and we hate the other. This was Prahlad Maharaj's teaching to his students and to his teachers as well. He told his teachers, "You are simply misleading everyone. In the name of knowledge, you are simply giving ignorance. You're teaching, this is my friend, this is my enemy, according to the dualities that you prefer or do not prefer. And it's all on the basis of the principle of how I can enjoy." Prahlad was 5 years old. He understood these principles clearly. That the world is in darkness. That knowledge is simply disguised ignorance. Very dangerous. Think about it. If you're in war and a spy from the enemy comes into your ranks and you trust him, so much you trust him, that you even have your generals, your lieutenants, your infantry, all taking lessons from you. What will happen to your nation? But that's just what we are all doing. No exaggeration. People who are presenting ignorance as representatives of the illusory energy. That yes, you are the enjoyer. Yes, the more money you make, the more strong and athletic you are, the more popular you become, the more you can control others' lives and influence others, the more you can enjoy. The more you can accumulate more and more and more and more things to enjoy. You can be success. You can have servants. You can have all sorts of material, cars and houses, and you can take vacation anywhere you want. You can be the enjoyer. Just learn this subject very carefully. And the students are, yes, yes, very nice, very nice. They're already born into delusion. They're crying out of the womb and they don't know who they are. They're looking around. They can't even see properly. All they can do is just saliva comes out of their mouths and they cry. I have seen. And then you teach them all this illusion. Maya is the enemy of the soul. And the representatives of the enemy are taking the positions of our teachers.
This is Kali Yuga.
They're teaching us how to attain what we desire and how to avoid what we hate. But the beginning of knowledge is to understand I'm not this body, gross or subtle. I am the eternal soul. I'm Krishna's servant. I'm not meant to enjoy, I'm meant to be enjoyed. In being enjoyed by Krishna, we experience ecstatic bliss. In our endless endeavor and struggle to enjoy material nature, we suffer birth, old age, disease, and death again and again and again. That is knowledge. Therefore, Lord Sri Krishna personally descends into this world to speak truth. That is Bhagavad Gita. Through Srila Vedavyas, sympathetic for the short memory span of the people of Kali Yuga, he has taken the words of Sri Krishna and put them down in the Vedic literatures. Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken by Shukadeva Goswami on the banks of the holy river Ganges. And Vedavyas has given it to us. This constitutes knowledge. Dharmam tu saksat bhagavat pranitam. Real knowledge, real dharma, the truth, comes from the absolute truth. It cannot come from those who are in ignorance. So disciplic succession means simply to repeat the pure, transparent word of God. Because that knowledge of the Word of God can uplift our consciousness. The Bhagavad Gita explains, when you have thus understood this knowledge, then everything is revealed to you, as the sun lights up everything in the daytime. Where there is no sun, there is darkness. But in the presence of the sun, no darkness can remain. Srila Prabhupada was very, very much concerned that people receive this knowledge. How to live according to our constitutional spiritual position. How to come out of the diseased condition. But until you recognize and admit that you are diseased, you will not take the medicine. That's what the Vedic literatures are meant to teach us. In fact, all the holy scriptures throughout the world, to bring us out of the delusion of the desire and hate of our minds and egos, is the beginning of spiritual life. This month, especially throughout the world, Srila Prabhupada's followers are conducting a marathon of distributing his books. The reason why is the compassion of our previous acharyas. They want to give direction and fulfillment to people's lives that are so terribly being wasted. In the scripture it is explained, there is no greater tragedy than a person to take the human form of life after transmigrating through 8 million species and wasting it without understanding the nature of the self. Therefore, Lord Krishna spoke Gita. And great personalities, they are promoting and propagating since time immemorial these original teachings were first spoken by Krishna to Lord Brahma at the very dawn of creation of this universe. Brahma, with his four mouths, spoke the Vedas as an expression of what he had heard within his heart from the Supreme Lord. And that is how our parampara began. The next person to take this message was Narada, directly the son and disciple of Lord Brahma. Narada Muni Bhajayivi Naradika Ramana Name. He's traveling everywhere, broadcasting this transcendental message. And in previous ages, whoever heard Narada Muni submissively, they would never forget his teachings. That was the power of the intelligence in previous ages. What is the definition of intelligence? Actually, intelligence doesn't mean to memorize so many verses. Intelligence means to live according to our spiritual nature as a humble servant of the Lord. And everything else, whether you decorate it with BAs, MAs, PhDs, or whatever, it's all avidya or ignorance. In fact, the more you empower ignorance, the more dangerous it becomes. The Shastras explain, a serpent is deadly. But when you put a beautiful, beautiful crown jewel on the serpent's head, it's more deadly. Why? Because when you see that jewel, you're attracted to it. Usually a snake without a jewel chases you. But a snake with a jewel, you will chase the snake. You'll be searching for him, hunting for him. Where is that jewel snake? And then you find... So it's more dangerous. Jewel without a snake without a jewel, you may run away. So similarly, the more we make illusion, delusion, and ignorance attractive, the more dangerous it is. So Narada Muni, when he would speak to Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, the Prachetas, the Haryashvas, Mugrari, the hunter, when he would speak to them, they would listen submissively and they would never forget anything he spoke. Just think of Prahlad Maharaj. This is Satya Yuga. He was an embryo in the womb of his mother. And Naradaji, he was instructing the mother, Kayadu, of Prahlad. And Prahlad happened to listen to whatever was said. And he never forgot a single word for the rest of his life. When he was 5 years old, he was speaking the most exalted teachings of Bhagavad Dharma to his father, to his teachers, to his friends, fearlessly, because he had realized what he had heard. Then Narada, so many disciples he has, and this transcendental knowledge of Bhagavad Dharma was spoken, heard, remembered, and repeated perfectly. But in Kali Yuga, it is impossible to remember all these things. Because in Kali Yuga, due to unregulated lifestyle pervading the whole planet, everyone's lifespan, in memory, intelligence, power to follow any austerity or religion is diminished considerably. So Narada Muni's disciple, Vedavyas, seeing the environment as a compassionate well-wisher of all living beings, he arranged that this transcendental knowledge would be put in the form of books. And we find the great acharyas, Madhvacharya, Ramanuja Acharya, how they established the basis of their teachings within their writings. These treasured books of these great souls are the guiding light of their followers by the millions and millions and millions for generations and centuries. Then the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, appeared in this world. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, appears with the sentiments of Srimati Radharani along with her beautiful golden complexion in this age of Kali. And his name is Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. To give the highest, purest essence of all knowledge. How important the distribution of books were to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I would like to explain with a short story from our Vaishnav Shastra. Lord Chaitanya, he spoke elaborate, eloquent teachings to various devotees. But to the general people, he gave them basic understanding of the goal of life and devotional service and inspired them to practice the Yuga Dharma of the chanting of the holy names. Because in this age of Kali Yuga, there is no other way to realize the truth except through the chanting of the holy names of Sri Krishna. But in order to convince us of truth and different ways of living according to our particular level of spiritual advancement, according to our varna and ashram, according to all these considerations of Kala, Desha, and Patra, the Lord gave many, many instructions which embody the very essence of all the scriptures. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was very small, Nimai Pandit, he was the greatest scholar of the scriptures in all the world. How he defeated Keshava Kashmiri, the Digvijay Pandit, who was 24 hours a day empowered by Goddess Saraswati. You know Saraswati Devi plays a veena? Well, his tongue was like one of the strings of that veena, and she personally played it. And what she wanted spoken came out. He was so empowered. But unfortunately, when people get blessings and power of God, they think it's their own and become proud. We should become humble, thinking such mercy. Look at how I'm used as this instrument. I should humble myself to serve all living beings to be an instrument of the Lord's mercy. But when we think it's me, or when we think, because I have this mercy, I am better than someone else, we become proud. And he was so proud. Wherever he went, there were elephants and marching bands and singers and pundits, all announcing, Digvijay Pandit is coming. And he would be riding on a big palanquin, and everyone would be chanting his glories. And from a material point of view, he deserved it. But from the spiritual point of view, he was in ignorance. So the Lord, out of his causeless mercy, totally defeated him, although he was only a child. Then Digvijay Pandit, when Saraswati revealed to him the true identity of the Lord, he gave up all his false ego and surrendered and became a humble devotee. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was master of all the shastras. But he understood and he taught that you can understand everything if you offenselessly chant the holy names of Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare.
He taught Sanatan Goswami, Srila Rupa Goswami, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Prakashananda Saraswati, Ramananda Rai, he spoke through. In this way, in his biographies, the most elaborate, concise, authoritative knowledge of everything spiritual is there. But he personally only wrote 8 verses called Shikshastakam. Personally, he only wrote 8 verses which describe the glories and the process of chanting the holy names, because that is the essence of all knowledge. One time, actually, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, living in Navadvip, he saw that the people of Navadvip and the people of the world, many were avoiding his teachings because they considered him to be an ordinary grihastha like them. Thus, for the sake of delivering even the most foolish and egoistic, he made his determined decision to enter into the renounced order of life. During the month of Magh, at the time of Makara Sankranti, he left his home in the very, very early morning hours when everything was dark. He swam across the river Ganges and went to Kantaka Nagar, also called Katva. There he approached Keshav Bharati Maharaj and appealed to him, please give me sannyas, shave my head, and give me the mantra into the renounced order of life. Keshav Bharati Maharaj, seeing the Lord's beauty, it was impossible. How could he take sannyas? He was only 24 years old. He was but a child. And when the news spread throughout Kantaka Nagara that Nimai Pandit, the beautiful Gaur Sundar of Nadia, has come to renounce everything and take sannyas, what will happen to his wife? She was barely 14 years old. The very emblem of chastity and faithfulness. What will happen to his mother, who was a widow with no other children and no one to support her? And what will happen to all his devotees, his association and his beautiful darshan? is like the water to a fish. They cannot live without it. The people of Katva, they all gathered by the hundreds, by the thousands, revolting. No, he cannot take sannyas. This is not according to religious principle. Impossible. Lord Chaitanya just looked at them with a smile and just cried out, please, all of you people, please, just bless me. Bless me that I could always be engaged in Krishna's service. So people threatened Keshavarati in so many ways. You cannot do this. We will not allow. This is injustice. Keshavarati said to the Lord, that I cannot give you sannyas unless you get your mother's permission. You go home and get your mother's permission. The Lord immediately began to run back to Nadia. Keshavarati understood, he's the Lord. I cannot do this to him. And besides that, he's so clever, he'll come back with a letter of permission, no doubt. He could convince anybody of anything. So you come back. So the Lord, seeing the animosity of people, who out of love and devotion could not tolerate the thought of seeing his beautiful hair, luxurious, with all opulence, to see it shaved off and fall to the ground, too much misery at the thought. So Mahaprabhu just told everyone to chant Hare Krishna. He personally began to dance and chant. The beauty of his dancing made everyone forget everything except that beauty. And when he raised his arms, he induced every man, woman, and child without discrimination to dance and cry in ecstasy while chanting the holy name. Then he called the barber. The barber looked at his hair and said, impossible, this hair cannot be cut. The Lord said, no, it is my desire. It will please me very much. Please cut my hair. How could he not want to please the Lord and fulfill his desire? But how could he cut his hair? Sometimes devotional service is very difficult. Sometimes we are asked to do something we do not want to do. This is the ultimate example of that. The people, they were so intoxicated with the holy name, they didn't even know what was happening anymore. And the Lord said, shave my head. And the barber said, my Lord, this hair is so beautiful. And you are the very emblem of everything we want to serve and please. We cannot tolerate this thought of you wearing the drab robes of a sannyasi with a shaved head. What about your mother? What about your wife? How can I do this? The Lord explained to him that this is my mission, to give everyone love of God throughout the world. This must be done. So Barber, with tears flooding his eyes, he couldn't even see. It was by the Lord's will only that his hand moved properly. The Supreme Personality of God had personally moved that hand to shave his head. When his head was half shaved, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in such ecstasy that he just started dancing. And everyone was struck with wonder. They didn't know what to do. Seeing his hair falling to the ground, all of the devotees and all of the people, they were weeping and crying and rolling on the ground. They had never seen such a piteous scene as the beautiful hair of the Lord, the enjoyer of everything, taking the hairs falling to the dirty ground, and the Lord taking sannyas, a life of hardship and simplicity. People were fainting, weeping, crying, and Mahaprabhu was dancing and loudly chanting the holy name.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
While that was happening, Mahaprabhu saw everyone so intoxicated by grief that he sat down and allowed the barber to complete the service. And then Kesha Bharati, sitting after the Lord took his bath in Ganga, sat with the Lord under a tree. And the Lord personally said to him, "Is this the mantra you want to give me?" Kesha Bharati was enlightened when he heard this mantra. Never had he heard such a nice mantra. He said, "Yes, this is the mantra I want to give you." And then he whispered it into the Lord's ear. And that was his sannyas initiation. Kesha Bharati then gave him his kamandalu, his danda, his saffron cloth, and gave him the name Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Why? Because he will spread Krishna consciousness, the beauty of Krishna consciousness, all over the world. There was one devotee. His name was Gangadhar Bhattacharya. He was from a village called Chakandi Gram. From his village, Chakandi Gram, he happened to he desired to visit his father-in-law, whose name is Balaram Sharma. On the way, he happened to pass through Katwa. He saw thousands of people gathering around. He saw everyone was crying, rolling in the ground, weeping and weeping and weeping and groaning in agony. What is this? And then when he entered into the environment, he saw the head shaving ceremony of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he saw the beautiful hair of Lord Chaitanya falling to the ground, he fell to the ground. He was unconscious. And all he could do was weep and weep and weep. He could not understand, what is happening? What have I walked into? How is this possible? The worshipable Lord of our life is taking sannyas. And when he heard Kesha Bharati give him the name Sri Krishna Chaitanya, he became like a madman. All he could do was speak Chaitanya, Chaitanya, Chaitanya. When he came back to his village, he was just weeping torrents of tears 24 hours a day. And the only word that came out of his mouth was, "Chaitanya! Chaitanya!" One of the villagers thought, they tried everything, but nobody could get through to him. One of the villagers said, "What has happened to him? Has he gone mad?" And another very learned person said, "I know exactly what's happened. He went to Katwa. There he saw Nimai of Nadia. Accept the renounced order of life. He saw the hair cutting ceremony.
He saw the initiation.
And lamenting in ecstatic love upon seeing what he had seen, because it was Sri Chaitanya that has caused this madness in him. It is only Sri Chaitanya that could cure him of this madness. Therefore, we should call him Chaitanya Das. Because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none different than his name. So everywhere Gangadhar Bhattacharya went, everyone was just saying, Chaitanya, Chaitanya, Chaitanya. And when he heard the name of Lord Chaitanya, he became happy. And after the few days, he became very normal and grave once again. After some time, a great mystery took place. Gangad Chaitanya Das had a wife named Lakshmi Priya. They had been married for many years. They were so pure in their devotional service to the Lord. They had no desires for any self-interest. Therefore, they never even considered having a child. Chaitanya Das, one day he approached his wife, Lakshmi Priya, and he said, I do not understand. Please help me. There's a burning, intense desire in my heart of hearts to have a son. This has never even crossed my mind before. I'm longing to have a son, longing. What should I do? Please explain. His very faithful wife, Lakshmi Priya, responded that we should go to Neelachala, Sri Jagannath Puri Dham. There Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, our worshipable Lord, is residing. If we go there, they will understand what is our real desires, and certainly they will fulfill. Taking this good instruction from his beloved wife, Chaitanya Das and Lakshmi Priya began their journey to Jagannath Puri. On the way, they stopped at their Lakshmi Priya's father's home, Balaramji, and told him of the desire. They stayed there for 4 or 5 days, then continued their journey. On the way, there was such a burning anticipation to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again. That was the only thought in their hearts, to see Lord Chaitanya's darshan. One night, Chaitanya Das and his good wife took rest, and he had a dream. We call it a dream, but it was the direct pastime of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this vision, Chaitanya Das saw the very beautiful threefold bending form of Shamsundar. His complexion dark like a monsoon rain cloud, eyes like fully blossomed lotus petals. He was smiling and playing upon his flute. He was bejeweled with the Kushtubha Mani and many wonderful, wonderful forest flowers. That beautiful form of Lord Krishna changed. First of all, he was standing in his threefold bending form. And Chaitanya Das saw his complexion turn from dark bluish to that of resplendent molten gold. The next transformation, he saw the effulgent, golden dhoti of the Lord transform into a saffron dhoti of a sannyasi. Then he saw the flute disappear, and the Lord was holding a danda and a kamandalu. And then he saw the vision continue to change, and the Lord had a shaved head. That was the shaved head that drove him mad. Unlimited ecstasies were erupting like volcanoes within his heart. Then that beautiful form of Lord Gauranga again became Krishna playing upon his flute. Thus the dream disappeared. Chaitanya Das awoke and told his dream to his good wife, and they were both very confident that Lord Jagannath and Lord Chaitanya are one and the same person. Actually, at the end of the dream, when Lord Chaitanya turned again into Krishna, then he saw Krishna performing ecstatic pastimes with his brother Balaram and his sister Subhadra. They continued to Jagannath Puri. When they arrived, they went to Jagannath's temple. When they came, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his associates was just coming into the temple. Chaitanya Das and Lakshmi Priya saw Lord Chaitanya standing at the Singhadwaram, the lion gate entrance to the temple. That beautiful form of the Lord, complexion like molten gold, his nose, his eyes, his ears, every limb of his body was millions and millions and millions unlimitedly more beautiful than anything Cupid could create. Chaitanya Das went and offered his repeated obeisances at the lotus feet of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya then spoke to him. He said, "It is very good that you have come here. Lord Jagannath is very pleased that you have come. Because he is so pleased with you, he will fulfill your desire." The devotees all heard this. This was very mysterious. This was how the Lord greeted him. Naturally, everyone wanted to know, what is this desire? Then Lord Chaitanya said, "Go to see the lotus-eyed form of Lord Jagannath." He told Govinda, "Make sure he sees Jagannath without any disturbance." Govinda took Chaitanya Das before the beautiful deity of Jagannath. He was looking. He saw on one side was Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and on the other side was Jagannath, Balaram, and Subhadra. This was the perfection of all ecstasies. He said to his wife, "We are seeing the supreme absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, in his moving form and his non-moving form, simultaneously." Simultaneously. Lord Chaitanya was praying to Jagannath to bestow his mercy upon Chaitanya Das and to fulfill all of his desires. Meanwhile, Chaitanya Das was very secretly offering his glorifications and prayers at the lotus feet of Sri Jagannath Dev. As he was coming out of the temple, Lord Chaitanya said to him, "Now your desire will be fulfilled. You should return to Gaudadesh, Bengal." Chaitanya Das went back to his house. The devotees were very inquisitive. They approached Govinda, the Lord's servant, asking, "What is his desire? What did he pray to Lord Jagannath? Please, please, tell us." Govinda said, "This is a secret. I do not know. But I know one thing for sure, that Lord Chaitanya will reveal what his desire was when he so desires." Soon after that, nobody said anything else about it. Lord Chaitanya, by his own spontaneous love, he called his devotees together and spoke this. Are you ready? If you want to hear what he spoke, please say Hari Bol. With that request will come a responsibility. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that Chaitanya Das prayed to Lord Jagannath with pure devotion. And in his inner heart, he desires to have a son. He will soon, Lord Jagannath has fulfilled his desire. He will soon have a son who will be the most illustrious, effulgent, pure Vaishnav devotee. His name will be Srinivas. I have empowered Srila Rupa Goswami and others to write transcendental literatures according to my instructions. The very essence of all knowledge, which culminates in pure unalloyed devotional service to Sri Sri Radha Krishna in Braja, will be established by the writings of Sri Rupa Goswami and his associates. This transcendental personality, Srinivas, who will be born by the will of Lord Jagannath, will be the one to distribute these books to the world. He will be the one to inaugurate the distribution of transcendental literature. That is my desire. And whoever sees him, whoever hears from him, their hearts will melt with love for Krishna. Then Lord Chaitanya told one devotee to bring Chaitanya Das to him immediately. Chaitanya Das came with Lakshmi Priya, and the Lord said to him, "Jagannath will fulfill your desire. Now you go home." He was so humble. Such a devotee he was. He and his wife, all they could do was offer their obeisances and cry. and all the associates of Lord Chaitanya, seeing his humility, they loved him dearly. They accepted him as like a brother. Chaitanya Das was crying within his own heart that he was speaking to his wife, how is it that we have received this mercy? We are most unqualified. We are most fallen. We are most insignificant. But yet the Lord is merciful to us. What a great wonder. This is the qualification to receive the Lord's mercy. Humility. Chaitanya Das returned home. And when he returned home, he was just so grateful for the mercy that the Lord was giving him that he was constantly chanting the holy names. Materialistic people thought he was completely useless person. What is he doing all this chanting of Harinam? What is the Lord giving him? The word spread somehow or other that he wanted a son. So they, where is the son? All you're doing is chanting, chanting, chanting. What are you going to get chanting? Do something. The Lord's doing nothing for you. But then one day, soon after, Srinivasacharya entered into the womb of Lakshmi Priya. She became the very embodiment of beauty. Then all these materialistic people came and touched the feet of Chaitanya Das, begging forgiveness. And on the full moon night of the month of Vaishakha, Srinivasacharya appeared within this world. And we know how, on the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was born specifically to distribute the books. From the spiritual world, he incarnated for that purpose only. After the six Goswamis, Srinivasacharya was the leader of the next generation of Vaishnavas, along with Narottam Das Thakur and Shyamananda Prabhu. Srila Jiva Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and all the Raghunath Das Goswami, Lokanath Goswami, Bhugarbha Goswami, all the great acharyas of Vrindavan, they all gave blessings to Srinivasacharya to lead the first book distribution party in Gaudiya Vaishnav history. And it wasn't easy. There was so much trouble and tribulation. They had to take the books, the original copies of the books, by bullock carts. Three bullock carts with three boxes. There was a whole festival inaugurated by Jiva Goswami to give them blessings for their departure from Mathura and Vrindavan. They travel hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles. And when they got into Bengal, they entered the kingdom of Vanavishnupuram. A king named Birambir, who was a leader of dacoits, was told by an astrologer that the most precious treasure in all creation is on these ox carts. No, he was not very philosophical at that time. He was thinking treasure means money. So somehow or other, when Srinivasacharya, Narottam Das Thakur, Shyamananda Prabhu, and all the others were sleeping at night in the forest, these thieves stole the boxes. When they got up, you can imagine what kind of anxiety their hearts were in. Now, people may think, what do you say anxiety? They're supposed to be pure devotees. Pure devotees are above anxieties. Gopis were in anxiety when Krishna left. Yashoda Mai was always in anxiety. Krishna might get scratched by a monkey or pecked by a bird. Or he might step on a thorn or a stone. What to speak of the hot sand under his feet. So a devotee is in anxiety for his service to Krishna, for the pleasure of Krishna. That anxiety purifies the heart of those who are conditioned and brings ecstasy to the heart of those who are pure. However, material anxiety simply drags our consciousness down further and further and further into the pit of illusion. Therefore, this planet is called Kunta, the place of anxiety. But Krishna's abode is Vaikuntha, no anxiety. But yet everyone's in anxiety. Transcendental anxiety. Transcendental anxiety is a higher ecstasy than simply Om Shanti Shanti. The yogis are Shanti and the gopis are weeping, where is Krishna? One is ecstasy and one is peace. What is higher, peace or ecstasy? The soul doesn't want peace. The soul wants ecstasy. That is its nature. And that ecstasy is to be in anxiety for Krishna. The six Goswamis, they were running around Vrindavan. Hey, Radhe, Brajadeva, Kay. Where is Radha? Where is Krishna? Are they at Bamsivat? Are they at Jamuna? Are they at Govardhan? The separation from Krishna, it purifies of the heart of the conditioned and brings the ultimate happiness of ecstatic love to those who are pure. And any anxiety we take in the service of Krishna, if it is without selfish motivations, that anxiety is the perfection of life. Or it brings us closer to the perfection of life. So Srinivasacharya, Narottam Das Thakur, Shyamananda Prabhu, all three were gopis of Braja who descended into this world. They were self-realized souls, totally learned in all the scriptures, always enwrapped in the ecstasy of love of God, and constantly chanting the holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
What was their anxiety? You think their anxiety was, oh, we will get in trouble when Jiva Goswami finds out we lost the birth. No! Their anxiety was that there are millions and millions of conditioned souls who are bereft of love of Krishna. In ignorance, they are struggling and toiling birth after birth after birth to enjoy the illusions of Maya. And they're suffering. It is our Guru Maharaj's desire that these souls be given Krishna Bhakti. And these books will convince them. It will establish pure devotional service and convert the hearts of the materialists into divine servants of the Lord. Their anxiety was for you and me, not for themselves. They were liberated. They needed nothing. But they wanted to give on behalf of their gurus. Srila Rupa Goswami, Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, Srila Sanatan Goswami, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. These great personalities spent their whole lives writing these books out of compassion for us. And they're lost. They were fainting, running around like madmen, looking, where are the books? Where are the books? Krishna, where are the books? Nowhere were the books to be found. But after some days or some time of this transcendental anxiety, searching, 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 looking, praying, inquiring, a voice spoke to Srinivas, "You will get the books." Then Srinivas sent Narottam Das and Shyamananda to go and preach. And after some time, Srinivasacharya came into the kingdom, and seeing him and hearing him, the king understood, this is a great devotee. He became a devotee. The king of dacoits became a Vaishnava. "I want to give you dakshin, Guru Maharaj." "What dakshin?" Srinivas said, "I'm looking for these books. Do you know where these books are? Find these books." He says, "I have the books. They're your books." When he brought those books, Srinivasacharya, he offered his prostrated obeisances to the books. He worshipped the books, offered arati to the books. Then he had them copied and arranged for them to be distributed. So since that time, within our disciplic succession, books are so important. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Narottam Das Thakur, Baladev Vidyabhushan, Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Voluminous books they wrote and their pure realizations. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, not only did he create so many books, but he also had published so many of the ancient scriptures of pure devotional service. He had his devotees profusely giving them out. And at Sri Radha Kund, the sacredest of all holy places, on the banks of the culmination of all holy places, Sri Radha Kund, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave instruction to Sri Abhay Charanaravinda, "If you get money, print books. Distribute these books." So Srila Prabhupada, taking that as his life and soul, understood that throughout the world, people are not in knowledge of the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They do not understand the Yuga Dharma of Harinam Sankirtan. He spent 6 years continuously writing in Vrindavan. And when he left on Jaladuta, all he had was a little bag of cereal, one little suitcase, an umbrella, and his books, along with 40 unchangeable rupees. And on the boat to Captain Pandey, he sold the first copy of his books. And when he went, wherever he was going, meeting people, he was telling them the importance of these books. And when Hayagriva, the first devotee to really come and seriously want to serve him and help him, the service he gave him was to help him to edit his books.
So Srila Prabhupada very much wanted these books to be distributed. Why? Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted these books to be distributed. In the English language, which is the most powerful language in the world today, in Kali Yuga, the truth of Bhagavad Gita should be available to everyone. To bring people out of delusion. It is Krishna's desire that people get this knowledge. O Skyne of Bharat, O conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion, bewildered by dualities arisen from desire and hate. Arjuna was told on this basis to fight. So preaching the message of the Lord is the most dear service to the Lord. This is exclaimed in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita by Lord Krishna himself. There is no one who is more dear or will ever be more dear to me than one who preaches my message to the devotees. And what is the message? The message is contained within these sacred books and culminates when people decide within their life that they are the eternal servants of Krishna. And they come to be in the association of Krishna's devotees, to hear the glories of the Lord, and to chant the holy names of the Lord.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
All Vedic literature, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, teach us three principles. Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana. To establish one's relationship with Krishna. To understand, I am not this body. I am the eternal soul. I'm part of Krishna. I am meant to love Krishna. Abhideya, to engage in the service of Krishna with great attachment. And through this process to become purified and come to the platform of Krishna Prema, spontaneous love of Krishna. That is all that is meant to be understood. It is the essence and conclusion of all knowledge. And how is that attained? By hearing the glories of Krishna. By associating with devotees of Krishna. By becoming Das Anudas, the servant of the devotees of Krishna. And most important is to gradually come to the point where we can always chant the holy names of Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
For the name of Krishna is endowed with all the powers and glories of the Lord. The form of Krishna, the qualities of Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna, the abode of Krishna, the associates of Krishna are all revealed when we offenselessly chant his holy names. Thank you very much. So during this month, in whatever way we can, if possible, take these books and try to distribute these books to whoever you can. It's a very, very sacred service. Or assist those who are distributing these books. And do it as an instrument of the Lord and his associates. And their blessings will shower and shower and shower upon us. And what will that blessing be? that we will gain a real taste for chanting his holy names and giving the name of Krishna to the whole world. With this in mind, let us have kirtan.
Srila Prabhupada ki.